two, one.
Run for the lights, ring the horn now, Midtown Toronto, Canada.
Those are some of the voices of the members of the Midtown Toronto chapter of Run for Their Lives. It's an international movement of neighborhood groups that meet once a week and they run or they walk a kilometer to raise awareness about the kidnapped Israeli hostages still held in Gaza. Run for Their Lives started after October 7th in California by Israeli expatriates. It's since spread to Europe and Australia, Brazil and Israel, as well as here in Canada, which, by the way, has the largest number of total chapters of any country in the world outside the United States. There are 13 chapters from Montreal to Calgary to Ottawa and Vancouver and several in Toronto itself. The outing is supposed to take about 18 minutes. And they wear race bibs over their red Run for Their Lives shirts or jackets. But instead of the usual marathon with unique number bibs, they all wear the same number. It's how many days in captivity it's been for the hostages. And sadly, that number keeps increasing.
It's been snowing. I think the first time that we ran, it was snowing. Then we had fog. Then we had freezing weather, minus 13, real feel minus 23. But we were doing that because we have to, because they can't. That's a good enough reason to step out on a Sunday morning and walk the streets or run them.
I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Welcome to the CJN Daily, a podcast of the Canadian Jewish News, sponsored by Metropia. Like many people, I felt compelled after October 7th to do something to help Israel after the Hamas massacres. Since we couldn't be in Israel, we donated clothes and supplies to show solidarity. Other people baked challahs. Some people put blue ribbons around trees and others needle-pointed mezuzah covers for displaced Israeli families. On today's episode, though, we're going to highlight three different grassroots initiatives that are bringing Canadian Jews together from coast to coast, some with their hands, some with their feet, and some with light. First, Run for Their Lives. Tovit Neiser founded the Midtown Toronto Group. She's an Israeli marketing specialist. She and her family moved to Canada from Israel just a few months before the war, and she is a runner. Michelle Factor is a psychotherapist, and she leads the Run for Their Lives group in Thornhill. They walk outside the Promenade Mall each weekend. And from Vancouver, vegan chef Daphne Kedem leads the pro-Israel demonstrations every Sunday outside Vancouver's art gallery, and then some of her group members break off and do the Run for Their Lives right after. All three women join me now to explain how they got involved.
Welcome to the CJN Daily.
Thank you for having
us. I'm so interested in hearing about this grassroots organization and how it's playing out in cold Canada, because it's a lot different than where it was founded. I was told it's founded in California, where they always have good weather. So each of you, so I'll start with you, Tovit. How did you get involved in this and why?
Okay, so first of all, we just moved from Tel Aviv, from Israel, this summer in July, and October hit. We were still, you know, up in the air, more unrooted than ever. And in the beginning, I helped raise a lot of money with community in Montreal, although I live in Toronto. And I was looking for to do something more for them. And then one day I read an interview. I think it was Ohad, a young boy who came back. He was released from captivity. And he said that he was transferred from one place to another in the tunnels. And then other kids recognized him. Other hostages, and they said, "Oh, you are hard. We heard about your birthday in the news." And he was thrilled to know that people talked about him. And then I felt like if I can do anything that would send a message, and maybe because sometimes they hear the news, maybe if they would hear that people are still doing something for them, that would be good in a way. I don't know how helpful, but maybe give some kind of ray of sunshine. And then I heard about this group and I said, okay, there's one up north Toronto. Why not do something in Midtown, which is not too far? It's where I am. And that's when I started. And it started when it was minus 13. And I said, rain, shine, snow, whatever comes, we're out there, even if it's only myself.
Okay. And we'll go over to Michelle.
Yeah.
How did you get hooked up into this? How did you hear about it?
So I've been following the Bring Them Home and Rachel Hirsch's mom. A lot of my friends are American, like myself, American born, living in Canada, and went to camp with Rachel. And I've been walking, not running. It's very clear because people avoid it because it says run for lives, right? It's supposed to be an 18-minute walk. We're outside, minus 17, the first one we started on the 100 day. And the crowd was phenomenal. It was huge. It was so beautiful to be together. You just look around. I just always stop and look. And their faces, the people walking, they're just like, we're so, this is what we need. Not everyone can fly to Israel and volunteer and take off work and pay the price of the tickets, which is a whole other podcast for you. But it's just something we do together, keep us together, stay strong together, peacefully.
Can you explain, what's your route?
Outside the Promenade Mall in Thornhill, there's a mall. And we're thankful that it is private Jewish-owned land. We got permission to walk on the land. Outside, it's supposed to be 18 minutes. It's about 22. Yep, we walk around the entire mall and we start with, I try to get a different cantor, rabbi, someone to help us with prayers for the hostages, the IDF, Echenu, and then sometimes Rachel will encourage a certain palm, to heal him, or we'll say that, or I let the person who's doing it pick and they decide and they tell us why. We walk around, we come back and say Hatikvah together.
And what do you wear? I guess, Michelle, what do you wear?
So I have a red Canada Goose skirt. It's just coincidence. And I wear it to keep my body warm with my jacket. We do hand out the days. So last, 2 days ago was 149. If everybody is, lucky to have a tag, we hand out ribbons. Yellow ribbons were for Bring Them Home. This coming Sunday will be purple for the women. We have Run for Lives hats with the Run for Lives logo on it. We have banners. We have hostage posters.
Toby, tell me what your route is.
We start at the Winston Churchill Park. That's Spadina and St. Clair in Midtown Toronto. And we walk St. Clair West 9 minutes and then back. 18 minutes total. The symbolism of high, but also it's not supposed to take a lot of your day. So we want to make it accessible to anyone. You can run, you can come with your dog. And as for what you wear, so some come with some jackets, like sport jackets, which are red. And at the end, they pull out the flags when we do the joint video, which is edited later with all the 177 groups globally. But what I did the first time, we also started on the 100th day. So we just wore something red and then took the video. But then I realized I'm a runner and I participated in a few like triathlons and sports events. And we always have these chest numbers, which is individual and unique. I decided that because it's a run or a sport activity, we'll use the same number. Unfortunately, the number that accumulates and adds up 7 days every week. It's the number of days they're in captivity. And we use the same one for everyone and we put it on us with some ropes and strings. The thing is, when you're a mass, more than one person, it drives some attention and people stop and they say, ooh, is there a rally today? Is there a competition? And then we don't answer. We just let them read because above and below it says, run for their lives, bring them home now. 100 and XYZ days in captivity. And at times they watch one of us and then they say, hey, how come you have the same number? Well, we're a group. We're representing the same awful number, which is just unfortunately growing and has to stop. And I think it drives curiosity, people's attention in a nice way, in a way that's not, in your eye or poking something or annoying and shouting. It's sporty and it's athletic. And we see a lot of other groups and they see us in the beginning whenever we meet up, they are very intrigued. Are there competitors or what are they? And then they read. And that's what we want. We want the aha moment. Then there's a QR code if anyone wants to read more.
We're speaking now to the Ontario crew, but of course this is a national Canadian project. Daphna, tell us what's happening in Vancouver and how you got started with this.
Right. I started a bit different. What happened is after the 7th, I saw this group run for their lives. A couple of weeks later, But I was already dedicated to bring them home now, and we are holding a rally each week at 2 p.m. at the Vancouver Art Gallery with different speakers. And I was saying, oh, we can't do both. We can't split and have people commit to another day. Actually started December to have a rally every week for Bring Them Home, and combining the two in a way that we still have the rally and the march, and we also have a walk. So
at the same time or before or different?
Before and sometimes after. So because to the rallies, we get hundreds of people. At some point, we had close over 1,000. And then some of these people for the Run for Their Lives.
So would you say the groups are sizes about what, 20 runners, walkers, 15 or more?
It's walkers. It's hundreds. I would say close to 100.
And what do they wear? Tell me what the route is and what do they wear?
They do wear the Bring Them Home t-shirts, and we do get red caps, red shirts, and we walk downtown Vancouver.
So I want to ask you, and anyone can jump in, you know, when these things happen in a public place, it's scheduled, people know, do you deal with any security issues? And if so, what's happened?
On our end, luckily, we only had one person. At the end, when we stand together as a group and we take the photo and we pull out the flags, some of us have flags of Israel. So from a distance, there was a woman, young woman with a dog, and she gave us a finger. And, you know, she started shouting stuff. Someone, you know, replied, and we did not pay attention to that. And we're not supposed to. I mean, the organizers are asking us every now and then at the lead group, which is a massive WhatsApp group, they're asking, don't be confrontational. The end goal is to have that group video of so many people around the world. And that's the message. Go raise awareness, but don't, you know, no need to interact like physically and verbally.
Okay, what about you in Thornhill? Anything?
So, yeah, we were also advised when protesters show up, and there was a woman in her car with a sign that made no sense, and she was screaming and shouting at us, and I just kept, you know, bringing everyone by, and I'm like, you know, do not engage. One person was so upset. I'm like, let's sing. Let's just sing. Don't waste it on that. Let's just move along our energy and keep it together. It's a waste of time.
What did you sing?
Am Yisrael Chai.
Okay, so you don't get an escort. You're just doing these sort of procedures that are pretty standard in. And what about in Vancouver? What's happening there? How security issues do you face, and what do you do?
We do have at times, but the protocol is not to engage. It doesn't achieve anything. We're not getting anywhere. It's just basically ignore them. We're not giving them any strength or any reason to keep on. We've had fingers pulled up, but we just carry on with what we're doing, united together. And we know what our mission is, and we just carry on.
So how much weight have you guys lost? And I'm not joking. There must be a lot of people counting steps for this.
So we do walk slower. Some people do tell us we walk too fast. So we slow down. And I just wanted to go back to security on the 100 day. I was a little nervous about it. And I called the Shomrim, and they did come, a bunch of volunteers. We were so thankful, and they circled us. I do call dispatch every Sunday, and they're aware that it's every Sunday now. We don't have the funds to pay the police. They reassure us that we're very low risk. So we're thankful nothing more than that one female was. Yeah.
Right. But then talk about, it's supposed to be a run for their lives for the hostages. So are people doing this partly out of fitness too now? Has it become a thing that people want to do this and they count steps?
It's either a run, a walk, or a stroll, or cycling. It's not one thing, and you can choose to be. There is a lot of socializing. It's more of a community event. It's a togetherness. It's empowering to be together and having more people with the same mindset and the same goal as you, and they know what you're talking about. It's a safe space for people in the community.
Lastly, so you hope that this is ending and you won't have to do this anymore. right?
That's like, what we say.
How long do you want to keep doing this?
That's what we say. Whenever I say goodbye to people, I tell them, I really hope not to see you next week. I love you. I thank you. This is a great venting out meeting, a weekly place where I can share my anxiety to just get this over and done with. But I always ask them, please, let's not meet next week. And please, let's meet in great circumstances, like the one when the two hostages came back. We have to celebrate. We want to celebrate something already. And we have 144 reasons too. So,
yeah, we just keep on hoping it's the last time, the last time. And it's just, I think it's one of the only things that we are happy to do, but we want it over with, the sooner the better.
Of course, we say the same thing. And I ordered t-shirts and hats and I'm like, okay, like I was waiting because I thought the minute I order, maybe they'll be released. And I hope that's true. I hope that's true.
Any famous celebrities or anybody super famous?
We're still waiting for Drake.
I mean, I'm happy when Melissa Lantzman showed up, Gila Marto, Laura Smith. Those were happy moments for us, Drake. I know where Drake gets his eyebrows waxed because I go to the same woman. If you want, you can just wait outside.
There's a Run for Their Lives group in Calgary as well, where Michelle Doctoroff also participates, but she's part of a different volunteer group as well. It's called the Nitzva Project, for knitting and mitzvah. Get it? Nitzva? She and her friends have been knitting black wool winter hats or toques for Israeli soldiers. Some have already landed in Israel at the foundation looking after lone soldiers in Jerusalem. Doctoroff says another shipment's going to Israel in April. And she joins me now to explain why she did this.
So I've been a very casual knitter my whole life. And then when October 7th happened, I was, you know, attached to all kinds of social media outlets and learning about what people were doing. And I heard that there was a program, knitting hats for IDF soldiers. Knitting is such a smart antidote because it calms the person down. Tactile, you're creating something stitch by stitch, heartfelt love by heartfelt love. And you can give that to somebody. You know that these people are on the front line. They're giving their lives. They're giving their souls. Their families are living in the unknown. And it's just a small, tiny way to say to people that we're thinking about you. You're not alone. And I have some friends and family in Israel, and I shared this little story with them, and they said thank you. It's very small, but we know that we're not alone. We know that you're thinking of us. We have to do the hard work. But how did the project evolve in Calgary? So it wasn't just myself. I heard about it, but I wasn't sure how to get this going. And then there were two other women who heard about it at the same time. So Jennifer McKenzie, who is a member of the Beth Tzedek Synagogue, who gave her some very good support, and another individual by the name of Kathy Wehner. And we all connected via social media. And we said, well, now we're three of us. We all have different social networks. Let's create something. So we got together, we put the groundwork. Our Alberta Jewish News helped us get the word out. Social media got the word out. And quickly, so I can share with you that to date, we have 22 volunteers who have been knitting, and we have 79 hats. And now to answer your question, how did we get them to Israel? Well, as grassroots programs go, it wasn't completely thought out at the planning stage. So we thought, well, we'll just mail them. So when we then had the hats in front of us and we looked at the volume and we weighed them and we went to the post office, we realized that would not be the best way to do it. So by then, at the beginning of the program, not that many people were going to Israel. So this is already the end of December. More organizations are sending missions to Israel. So we said, well, maybe we can just get somebody to take the hats. So this volume of hats was about a large carry-on suitcase, which was still asking one person a lot to do. So we found to date three different people who could take small packages of hats, and they all have, and yes, we know that the first two packages have been delivered. And actually, as we're talking right now, I think the third package is on the airplane going to Israel. And the other thing I guess I should add is that in each hat, we asked the donor if they would like to put a small note. So, you know, some people wrote something very, you know, short and simple. Other people wrote a short little letter. So just to say that, you know, these have come from Calgary, Canada, and thank you so much for all you're doing for the Jewish people. And we're thinking about you.
Question. So you're still knitting. It's not over. The project's not over because it's going to be warm in Israel soon, right? Warmer.
Yes. Well, what we were thinking is, you know, because it's a very repetitive pattern. It's knit two, purl two, knit two, purl two, over and over. So some of our knitters are getting, you know, they've made 6-10 hats, some of them, that they're getting a little tired, a little repetitious. As you say, the world has clamored to this project. So Israel is getting lots of hats, plus that it's getting warmer. In Israel, they're not going to need as many hats. We were thinking, we had already put out a deadline of April 30th. So I promised some volunteers and they're working with the April 30th deadline. And then after that, we'll take a break. Maybe we'll, I don't know.
And that's the sound of the third project I want to tell you about. It's growing in popularity through the efforts of a Toronto fitness instructor, Gail Starr. She calls it Candles for Israel. She got the idea from South Africa, where after October 7th, people started lighting extra candles for the hostages on Fridays. At first, she did Candles for Israel every Friday in her home with just a few friends. And now she and about 40 people involved with Beth Emma Synagogue are doing this in different homes. And there's singing involved as well, including Hatikva, as you just heard, the Israeli national anthem. They use tea lights for their hostage candles. Sometimes they arrange them into intricate patterns like giant stars of David. Star will be speaking about her Candles for Israel initiative at her synagogue next month. And that's what Jewish Canada sounds like for this episode of the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia. Integrity, community, quality, and customer care. Now, if you want information on any of these grassroots efforts, just go to the links in our show notes or write to me and I'll put you in touch with the organizers. If you want to tell us about some things you are involved with, that might even make a nice story for us at the CJN. I'm at ebesner@thecjn.ca. Thanks for listening to the CJN Daily.